Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike, just to circle back to Miles, you mentioned earlier that it wasn't a UCL-related thing. Do you all know that through imaging? Or like, what's
we
the...
do know that through imaging.
Okay. So he's had imaging, and it was confirmed that that's all intact, and it was...
Correct. It's back to that flexor tendon that...
Right.
You know, we've gotten looked at, and now we're going to treat, and we're going to take it the proverbial day by day and evaluate as we go. So it is going to set him back a little bit in time, and we'll evaluate how much.
Was it something he said to you guys after his last throw session that caused that those steps?
No, I mean, it ultimately led to that based on the last session, but it's something that he just continues to have that little bit of discomfort in an area in that tendon that he's had historically. He pitched through it last year. He's been able to pitch through it. He would prefer not to have to pitch through it. But it got to the point where we said, you know what, let's just look at it a little deeper, a little closer, make sure.
What kind of concern level do you have about this for him pitching this spring or even throughout the season?
You know, there's some concern. He's in a setback. So, you know, how great the concern is. You know, he's been able to pitch with in the past. But, again, I think it's something we want to get behind him and to look what those steps look like. So, you know, he's had a little minor setback. We'll evaluate it. And I'm not as concerned because it's more tendon. So we can heal that quicker. Ligaments don't typically really repair. So, you know, we're comfortable about what it is and getting our head around it. And so I'm concerned because he set back. I'm not concerned it's a major setback relative to what could be, you know, significant time based on a ligament or anything that's – and nothing is showing in the imaging that's – it's not worsened. It just hasn't healed to the way we would like it to heal, to where it's gone away.
Is this likely to be done with rest rather than some kind of procedure?
I think that's very accurate. Absolutely.
So he's probably no throw for a week.
Again, I don't put a timetable. He's on a no throw program, and the timetable is still being determined.
Okay. Will he have more imaging done?
I don't know that more imaging is necessary. I think now we're in the process of figuring out what steps we do that make sense. That okay, we've done the injection. It's not worse, it's not better. What are the steps now that we do beyond an injection that says, you know, we need to take? I don't think anything invasive is going to be necessary.
Injection came last year, did it not?
Came after the season last year, correct.
Is that like a PRP injection when you say injection?
I believe that was a PRP injection, that's correct.
Can you speak to, not even just specific to Miles, but overall, with your starting staff, you know, with injuries and things that happen throughout the season and spring, speak to the depth that you have in that group that gives you confidence in being able to kind of weather those kind of storms.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want any setbacks from any of the guys we like who we have. Obviously, we also like the depth of it. We've got multiple names to draw from, and I don't want this to turn into, oh, we're, you know, it's just, you know, we've had a mild setback, but we have a lot of depth. We know the names. And, you know, we don't want to draw from it, but it's there if we have it. And the thing about depth is, you know, it's not only having depth, you got the bodies, but you have the quality of depth, the people with the experience that have done this and that can are more than capable of being there if and when we need them.
What stands out with Ponce de Leon in his body and his pitches so far?
Yeah, I mean, come in, like almost every single guy on our cam has come in really, really top-notch, you know, physical and mental shape, and Ponce is in a good place, took advantage of his time in the off season. You know, the eye test, you know, presents that, but also his consistency and his the biggest thing with Ponce, like a lot of guys, and we talk about this regularly here, you know, just the consistency of what you do and how you do it and the intentionality of what that looks like. And that comes through, and it doesn't misrepresent that a young player is not intentional, he's not working hard. It's just you evolve. You evolve, you know, what works for you, and the competition tells you what that looks like, and, you know, you grow and learn from others in the game, in the clubhouse, and Ponce is going through that curve and coming out on the good side of it to where he's got real, real intentional about what he's working on, how he's working, how to make quicker adjustments if needed, and so he's in a good place in those regards, and he's done himself a service by physically, you know, making sure that matches up with his plan.
When we talk about guys not being siloed in the way that their playing time is affected by other players, in a case like with Carlos, for example, do you have to silo him a little and evaluate him by himself as opposed to, well, okay, now Miles has a setback, so maybe Carlos trends more in the starter direction? Do you have to do those totally separately?
Yeah, I want to clarify the silo comments, because the silo is every guy is a silo.
Right.
In a sense of how that, you know, he's being treated, worked on, developed, given the opportunity, but it's still it still has to be in a sense of a group setting. So, you know, Carlos is getting the opportunity to start. We made that clear. He's taking advantage of the opportunity with his offseason, and clearly what he does will be some level of a linchpin for what the total team looks like. But it won't be the linchpin.
I guess the better way to phrase that is, does Miles having a setback at all affect what his program would look like, or do you just have to, Carlos is on his program? And
I think it's too early to say that. I mean, okay. Clearly, I mean, if you know, you have a setback with a piece of the foundation that you have, and then it's going to adjust things. But, you know, Carlos still has to show he has the ability to compete and be ready to handle the what's required for us to be a starting pitcher.
What does today's rain do for your schedule here?
Not a thing. Okay. Yeah, the rain worked out well. I mean, you know, preparation pays off. We had we were able to get the non-throwers out to play catch, which was probably, you know, all of it's important, but that was something that it was hard to duplicate, and we got that taken care of. And then we covered everything we wanted to cover in a rotation that we had already set up inside for them. Now we didn't get some of the physical work to it, but you know, we have plenty of time for that. So we established what we wanted to. In some cases, when you do that in a more of a that setting,
classroom setting,
you know, more of the mental reps. Mm-hmm. So we got the, which is what we're really accomplishing the most right now, is just setting our baseline of what we want to work off of and how we want to work. So we got all that in, and then the guys throwing their sides were able to get their sides in. And so we had, outside of, you know, in two of our stations that weren't highly rep stations anyway, so outside of probably about 30 reps for each player, we pretty much, and we trade that off for the mental reps. I think we're pretty much right on where we need to be.
I see chalkboard stuff.
Yeah, just, you know, we were able to talk through it. There were some visuals on a for our bun plays, you know, with Ollie's group and Stubby's group a little bit, but otherwise it was more just communication with the group.
See, tomorrow you have no throwing for pitchers. Is there some sort of contest review?
We're talking about that as I leave. We're going to go debrief for today, and then we'll
perhaps some fielding competition.
Perhaps. I'm curious to know. We got Nightingale in the house. You know, it's probably a fairly high draft pick, I would assume. For the media PFP session we're going to have
tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is it.
Oh. Probably a pretty smart move, Bob.
I'm sure not coming back now.
Yeah. So I'm curious what you guys come up with. Well, I think we'll be relatively creative in a, you know, common sense way.
You let us know what stations we have to do. We'll make sure Brendan does all the running.
All right. No, I mean, that's the thing. It's a competition. When are we complete journalist?
Right.
I would think, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but.
I'm
not touching that one, yeah. Mitch.
There must be like a quickest tweet contest.
Oh, for sure.
Can we leave that one out?
Oh, thanks. So, yeah, good at you.
Mike, given the number of pitchers you have in camp, some of these young guys are in their first camp. What do you want them to get out of this, if it's not maybe even an inning? in a game, which may be scarce. Is it, you know, what can they get from this? Just maybe exposure, or do you make sure they get time with Mad Dog, that kind of stuff?
Oh, that, you know, mutual exposure, you know, make sure that there's a relationship being built. And it's one of the first things we've always tried to do in player development and guys when they first start to come up, just get to know people and get to know, make them feel like they understand, they can ask something or question something they don't understand or don't agree. That's healthy. Just get to know them personally so we can understand how to best relate with them, and then get them to understand just the baseline things that we do, understand it's important and make sure they comprehend it. And then probably as importantly or more importantly than that is allowing them access to our more established players, you know, who are more than willing and eager and excited and enjoy giving back, which I think is really special because, and we talked about that earlier in the meeting yesterday actually, but, you know, you got a group that's coming to get these guys jobs, you know, and it's still competition and, you know, it's in a team setting, but these are guys' individual careers too that we respect. And you got this group that's rightfully coming to, you know, make their case for being on the 26-man roster. And you got a group of guys that are more established that have the end to do that are helping them. And taking advantage and being aware and being smart enough to grow and accelerate their learning curve by not only, and this is my wrap-up point, take advantage of your own experiences every day of what you're doing, how you're doing, and what it looks like and what you're hearing, but also be smart enough, and like Jack's great at this, we use Jack Flaherty as an example of this, Yachty was an example of this, I'm sure, years ago. You know, you can't be catching the World Series at 20 or so when he was in 2004. Be smart enough, take advantage of the clubhouse experience, be available to it. No, it's not personal. We're just trying to everybody get you to understand what the standards are here.
Last camp, we talked about a theme, and maybe writers make more of a bigger deal about themes than coaches and managers, but the idea of restoration and a return to fundamentals, base running, defense, clearly that seemed to work.
Right.
What's the theme for 2020's camp?
Yeah, just, I mean, the theme is going to be pretty consistent, right? And then you work off of, I mean, listen, we're going to do it together. We're going to do it as a team. We're going to throw strikes. We're going to run the bases well, and we're going to be able to understand how to execute on offense relative to the situation. Now, as you look up, you realize, okay, these are areas we've been able to grow and have strengths in. What's the next step? So there's no satisfaction to that. And then what are areas, it's always fluid, right? You know, what's areas that we identify that we need to work on and, you know, and work more efficiently, work smarter at. So, but really it's just getting down to those pillars that, you know, like if you look at a broadcast before a baseball, basketball, or football game, the keys to the game, you know, they can get specific. Guy has to land his curveball, whatever, but get ahead in the count, you know. All the things that we know that at the end of the day allows you the best chance to shake hands and feel good about the end result.
Yeah, yeah.
We continue to focus on those. Everybody good?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, good.
Thanks,
you're
welcome.
Enjoy your day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.